1420 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon have launched the largest and most intense cross-border attack since the war in Gaza began 10 months ago. It's raising concerns of a regional war. The BBC's Yoland Nell reports from Jerusalem.
There is a sense of relief among people on both sides that this major exchange of fire is over for now, without signs that it has really, as many people feared, gone into an all-out war between Israel and Hezbollah. But there is still a sense of unfinished business.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia targeted his country with more than 100 missiles and 100 drones today, some hitting regions that neighbor European countries. Zelensky reports an unspecified number of deaths and damage to power plants. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance tells NBC if former President Trump is elected again, he will not support a national abortion ban.
Donald Trump wants to end this culture war over this particular topic. If California wants to have a different abortion policy from Ohio, then Ohio has to respect California and California has to respect Ohio.
Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren tells NBC,
we are not going to trust the futures of our daughters and granddaughters to two men who have openly bragged about blocking access to abortion for women all across this country.
Reports of COVID are rising among delegates at last week's Democratic National Convention in Chicago. CBS LA's Jeff Nguyen says they could be part of a national trend.
The CDC is tracking about 400 deaths weekly due to COVID-19. The public health officials are fearing that rising emergency room numbers as well as hospitalizations could signal another spike come this fall.
Passengers at the airport in Seattle still dealing with residual delays after Saturday's suspected cyber attack that knocked out online check-in and baggage service. Lance Littles with SeaTac Operations.
We know we need people ready to help passengers locate current gate, flight time, and bag claim information.
All rose for the judge at Yankee Stadium.
Morning flight 50. 50 home runs.
Judge crushing not only number 50, but 51 of the season in yesterday's game against the Rockies. That's his third 50th in a single season, matching Babe Ruth, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and A-Rod. Judge tells the Yes Sweat Network, it's no biggie.
Not really. It's trying to do my job.
S&P futures up 7. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The four hotel workers arrested in the death of Devontae Mitchell have pleaded not guilty. Prosecutors allege they pinned Mitchell to the ground in June. He later died. The defendants include two security workers, a front desk employee, and a bellhop. They're charged with felony murder. They each face up to almost 16 years in prison if convicted. All four defendants are expected back in court October 15th. And a Wisconsin company scored a huge new military contract. Here's Lisa Hale.
Oshkosh Defense is awarded a $1.54 billion five-year contract to build new and refurbished heavy tactical vehicles and trailers for the U.S. Army. Oshkosh Defense has produced over 71,000 heavy tactical vehicles for the United States and other nations. The Army can start buying vehicles from Oshkosh Defense on the contract this month.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tome Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
Roster decisions in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst has until 3 o'clock tomorrow to trim the team roster to 53 players. One of those decisions will be at backup quarterback. Will he stick with Sean Clifford or go with rookie Michael Pratt, a 7th-round pick out of Tulane, who talked about the battle to be the backup?
I think it's been a really, really healthy competition. You know, Sean and I were really close. And, you know, I think just the dynamic in the quarterback room is the main emphasis for us, is to help the team. I think just all of us kind of being on that mind. mindset. You know, like I said, the healthy competition.
College basketball, Racine's Latrevion Fenderson has committed to the Wisconsin Badgers. The 6'4" guard transferred from the Prairie School to St. John's in Delafield, averaged nearly 22 points a game. Baseball, the Brewers have the day off after a 4-3 loss to Oakland. Left-hander Aaron Ash has been called up from Nashville to help out in the bullpen.
Yeah, I liked what I saw at Ash. For the most part, really commanded his pitches, and yeah, I think he can help us.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have a heat advisory in effect for today. The heat index, 100 degrees or better this afternoon. Partly cloudy in the low 90s with a chance of afternoon and nighttime thunderstorms. Tonight, 65. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Warm and humid again with a high near 90. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel entertainment reporter Chris Foran joins the show to talk movies and TV. And Wisconsin native comedian Mary Mack joins the show to talk about her tour of the state.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hail, hail, the gang's all here on this Monday morning, August 26, 2024. Nice to have you back on Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 706. On this Monday morning, August the 26th, coming up later this hour, some more Wisconsin voices from the Democratic National Convention, including Assembly Democratic leader Greta Neubauer, talking about some of the key assembly races that will be on the ballot this year. Of course, Kristen Lyerly is on one of the congressional ballots, and she joins us here, along with Selena Heller from Up North News, Greg Bach and Waukesha, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. On what is going to be a hot, hot day and extremely humid. You could already feel that out there today, Brittany. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. It is going to be a gross, sizzling, sticky day, like Pat had mentioned. Temperatures are going to be soaring to the low to mid-90s across the state. The hottest spots, of course, will be southwest. And, of course, the dew points, they're already in the low 70s. They're going to climb a little warmer, a little bit more muggy, and of course, paired with those temperatures, our heat index is going to be feeling anywhere from 100 degrees in areas with heat advisories to nearly 110 degrees into places who are under heat warnings right now. So yes, we have all of that throughout the state of Wisconsin. And then tonight, we've got strong to severe storms rolling through where the severe storm, the Weather Prediction Center has put us in an enhanced risk for western areas of the state and a slight risk for the rest of the state. We're looking at a line of storms moving in overnight through early tomorrow morning, which could produce some 75 mile per hour wind gusts. So those are the risks that we're going through overnight with the arrival of this heat. So two bad things, if you ask me. I don't like the heat. I'm over it.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob says it already feels like Florida out there today, where he says, good morning from Tigerton, cloudy and muggy and 71. Had a super weekend Saturday, a lawn mowing job, and spent time at the Tigerton Lumberjack Days, from the corn roast Saturday night to the parade and chainsaw cutting contest. But I got to meet Kristen at the Tigerton Lumberjack Days parade. You went.
I went. Rob and I hung out. We made a short little, Rob gave a current weather status update. So I've got a short little video to share with you. It's adorable. It was just a delightful, Tigerton just felt so welcoming, and it was a fantastic day.
Wow. I can't believe you buried the lead on this. You've been here for 35 minutes already, and now we're finding out. You and Rob from Tigerton finally got to hang out at the parade.
And here's the proof.
Well, it was hot, but cloudy, and getting nice and cool.
I mean,
hi, Brittany.
The breeze in Tigerton is amazing.
This is where I graduated 38 years ago. 38 years ago, I graduated from there.
That's right. All right. Hey, from Tigerton. Woo!
I saw an anti Tammy Baldwin ad on TV yesterday, and it had a lady named Jackie B from Tigerton. I'm like, that's not right. I don't like that at all. We don't talk about Tigerton like that.
That's no. Right.
Tigerton was delightful. We were standing by the high school, so Rob showed us his high school, and everybody in the crowd, this was the friendliest parade I've done this summer. No kidding. Everybody was so happy and so excited as we celebrated Lumberjack Days and just the incredible logging history in Tigerton. Fantastic day. So great to finally meet you, Rob.
Yay.
That's wonderful. Wow, that's great. Brittany is just speechless over here at this.
I'm jealous, right? Oh, she got to meet Rob. Oh, I love that.
That's wonderful. Brittany, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. 7-10 right now. The Brewers fell in Oakland. Final score was 4-3. They had led 2-0 and then tried to make a comeback late into the game. But instead, they finished their road trip with a 3-3 record. And now they are 10 games up in the National League Central Division. They are off today. A short 3-game homestand starting tomorrow against the San Francisco Giants, with games on the Civic on stations on the Civic Media Radio Network that we'll tell you about tomorrow ahead of the game. If I'm a little discombobulated today, it's not just from all of the busyness of Chicago and getting back and getting settled in again. It is coming to terms with the double whammy of age. First, there was turning 60 last month, and yesterday, our first grandchild turning 18. I have an 18-year-old grandson now.
I remember when he was born.
I know. Gosh. How can that be? 18.
I remember when he was like in the belly in parades with you, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, no. Mason was born August 25th, and his first parade appearance was that next Labor Day weekend in the Jim Falls parade. He was there in the stroller being pushed along.
In the stroller.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
That's weird. Like my niece, she turns 24 this year, and I'm like, oh, nope. Thank you.
How does this sound? Great, Grandpa.
Yeah, let's not go there yet. It's
quite, okay.
We've already warned him about that. It's too soon for anything like that. Lane Riggs earned his first NASCAR National Series trophy on Sunday at the Milwaukee Mile, but couldn't carry the trophy because he fist pumped so hard while celebrating. He fist pumped his shoulder right out of the socket.
Oh my gosh.
The 22-year-old said, "I've done it before, but never in victory lane. It's all good now," he told the Journal Sentinel. "I'll numb the pain later tonight." Well, that's one way to go,
man,
about having a good weekend.
I can say this because I'm one of them, man. Boys are dumb. Seriously.
Tell me about it.
My goodness.
Kristen, you got stories?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome to another segment of Dumb Boy Stories.
Or just boys being boys. Grandson number two got a fresh set of stitches on his chin from, you know, a playground mishap recently.
Cool.
So I made a video for him showing them how I'd had stitches, you know, here in my forehead, here on my elbow when I tripped up the stairs while carrying a glass, stitches on my chin. Boys are really good about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're
and the dirt.
Yeah.
We're the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
We're really big on not staying clean, shall we put it that way. We mentioned last hour, former President Donald Trump is going to be in La Crosse on Thursday, and it's being billed as a town hall meeting, saying the former president will meet with voters in La Crosse, quote, to listen to their concerns and share his promising agenda to make America affordable again. The campaign said in a brief statement, the notorious swing state voters are eager to discuss kitchen table issues with President Trump, and his common sense solutions are exactly what will drive voters to the ballot box in droves this November. Kristen Lyerly has her hand up. Go ahead, Dr. Lyerly.
I heard a few things that I have questions about, specifically listening and policy.
Yes. Yeah. If you get to see either one of those things on Thursday, I mean, consider yourself like right up there in spotting a UFO, you know, these or a unicorn. But it's possible. It could happen. Yep.
I mean, the phrase common sense solutions attached to his name. Come on, man. Come on.
Well, it's just solutions overall. I mean, I saw that Eric Hovde has a new commercial out where for the first time he tries to show a softer side. We're not getting the California banker with the Wild West mustache going, pew, pew, I'm a tough banker guy and I'm going to, you know, be all sassy and everything. Now it's like, you know, when I was diagnosed with MS, I decided to fix Africa, you know, or something along those lines. And I'm not sure that it's really connecting. And Alicia up in Northeast Wisconsin, she's running for an assembly seat and writes in that she talked to a voter this weekend who also said they didn't get the connection with Hovde's latest commercial. And I'm wondering if it has something to do with the way that John Oliver just roasted him. Not last night, but the Sunday before, where it said, you know what? Maybe we need a reset on this campaign, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe that's what Trump, maybe this is the Trump reset, I mean, you know?
Maybe it is. But, you know, don't you think Wisconsinites desperately want connection and authenticity? I think you can get away with just creating a persona like J.D. Vance has done and trying to be something that people are telling you you ought to be. But I think here in Wisconsin, people really want to know who you are and what you bring. And they want to trust you on that like deep level that you can't just create. You have to actually be that person.
Exactly. And so it's one thing to show your softer side. It's another thing then to, like all of his other commercials, Eric Hovde's, just talk about the border. Trump talks about the border, and inflation. Yeah, but what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do that's pro-consumer, pro-worker, dare we even ask, pro-environment, you know, at the same time? What are you going to do? And if it's just, I'm going to cut taxes and red tape, you know, more and more people aren't buying that anymore. That's not nearly enough, you know?
I think something you said in the last hour really applies to, at least with Tammy Baldwin, which is, you know, with the Green Party and the third party stuff and only running during the presidential elections, that doesn't create a connection, which is the opposite of what Tammy Baldwin's been doing for decades now, which is going around to these areas, talking to people who wouldn't vote for her, or maybe not even like her, and connecting with them and building those relationships where it's like, all right, I don't like most Democrats, but I know that Tammy Baldwin has done stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's you invest that time in connecting with the voters, the local leaders, all those people, and that pays off because we see that in the polling and we see that in her popularity. That, yeah, she might not be my cup of tea because I'm not a Democrat, but she is getting stuff done, and there's nothing you can say to that. And Eric Hovde is just throwing all the spaghetti at the wall and nothing's working. And also in all movies, the California banker is the one you want to get robbed by the bandits. So whatever.
Selena's going to be telling us more in our next segment about stories that she's working on for Up North News. And this time around, we're going to Black River Falls for some solar panels.
We are. Emery went with me. She got to see my old high school. I showed her my locker. So that was fun. And then
Did you stuff her in there too?
No.
Okay,
we had a conversation of how do you open lockers? so that was interesting.
She also didn't do this thing with the lockers. My half sister went with my dad and stepmom to tour his old high school. This was back when she was, again, like, I don't know, maybe 4 years old, 3 years old, something like that. And they lost her. And they're looking all over the school, looking everywhere and saying, Trisha, where are you? Trisha. Finally, they hear laughing and they open up a locker and she's in there. And she's like, they're like, why didn't you tell us? Like, when you play hide and seek, you don't say where you are.
That's very true. That's true. That's the number one.
Back with more with Selena after this. Have a great day, Kristen. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier?
Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Buck.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Frankie Valli, title track to Grease, the soundtrack for the motion picture. The motion picture was the big summer blockbuster of 1978. And that was the number one song on this day back in 1978. Reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. And there we spoke ever so briefly in today's history lesson about it being National Dog Day. And Christina Laurie has certainly mentioned dogs there, including some of Wisconsin's best dog parks. But also all about getting some really good hot dogs at American Family Field. You see what she did there with the dogs. So an episode of the newsletter that has gone to the dogs. Click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage at upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you there as a subscriber. All right, Selena Heller is back with us as well, working on stories for Up North News, headed back to her old stomping grounds in the BRF area, to talk about the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, that and, let's see, there was also ARPA, the American Rescue Plan, and some of the other ways that the Biden administration, and now the Biden-Harris administration, has worked to increase energy efficiency, fight climate change, but also make the ways to do that more affordable. And it's that part, Selena, the affordability measure that Black River Falls and other school districts were wrestling with.
Right. So in Black River, I mean, the buildings and ground supervisor's name is Kent Weinman, and he's been wanting to do something like this, you know, talking about it for a lot of years, but it just never was attainable and it just never made sense. And so these projects were kind of put out to other entities before, homeowners and solar panels and things like that. But now they're open to nonprofits and schools and churches. And so they thought they would take advantage of it because now they can afford it and now it makes sense. And so he talked to me, we went up on the roof. And so I've never been on the roof of the high school. I mean, I spent a 4 years there, but so it was my first time on the roof, of course. And so he talked about now they get a 30% tax credit, which made it something that they wanted to do. This is Kent Weinman.
You look to lean towards on that solar, but then realize the price point is the payback wouldn't be for 20 years. We'd only get 5 years of free electric. When that 30% rebate came, that was the selling point right there. It's like, okay, these will be paid off in 12 years and we'll be running free.
And that's the important thing is to calculate that return on investment. I mean, again, it's very easy to for somebody to say, oh, well, free money, sure. Well, let's put up solar panels. But then if they never actually pay for themselves, they're not worth the investment. But yeah, he definitely, you get the impression from the story that you can read at upnorthnewswi.com. This is a guy that's run the numbers repeatedly to make sure that this works.
Oh, right. And they look, they've done they're called a legacy project because they have done so many updating projects and looking at all of their energy things from the company that installed the solar panels, because they've done so many upgrades in the HVAC system and LED, putting in LED lighting. And so he's really committed to kind of things like this and looking at projects. So what this is they The energy offset is 22%. That's what they're hoping to get out of this. And then that's $15,000 a year in savings for them. And they got to focus on energy utility rebate for more than $13,000. And then the one-time Inflation Reduction Act tax credit of $87,000. So that's how it's a lot of numbers. But that now he talks about even more savings on top of that. And here's how he explains that.
You can save money in two different ways with the solar panels. The number that shows you saving $15,000 in savings in electrical savings, that's just part of the picture. Another part of the picture it got explained to me is, okay, you're saving $15,000 in cost, but that's also lowering our demand from the utility. And by lowering our demand from the utility, that can drop us into a lower rate. So we're saving $15,000 directly from our utility bill, but by dropping into a lower rate, we might be able to save another $10,000 to $15,000 just with our rate charge. So that's the hope, is maybe $25,000 in savings.
$25,000 in savings is nothing to sneeze at.
No, that's a big number. Yeah. Like, yeah, when you look at it that way, and then you see, then after this 12 years, they have the solar panels have a lifespan of 25. So in 12 years, they're paid for. So they have 13 years of all of this money coming back.
Yeah. And it's not, of course, just solar panels. You've already talked about school buses, electric buses, other district owned vehicles that could replace, you know, older fossil fuel burning models. But then there's also the angle as well that school districts can partner with the neighboring community or other communities to provide benefits to residents as well. There are just so many available options out there where, again, that tax credit comes to a nonprofit like a school district, basically in the form of a direct payment, which can help offset the cost of all these things. Now, interestingly enough, Selena, for all the talk about what was happening up on the roof, it's probably another project that he was working on at the time that gets more attention. The new scoreboard is that where the football team plays?
Well, right. Yeah. They're getting the day I was there, they were putting up a new scoreboard. And so he's like, okay, I'll meet you up on the roof in a little bit. And so he was over there and then we were doing that. And then the funny thing is, he's like, you know, that's a visible project. This project is not visible for people. So what we're doing is we want people to see this. And so we're putting a monitor in the foyer of the school. And so students can watch the energy usage and things like that and see that, you know, more energy is being received during the midday or whatever. So they can use it as a tool in their classroom and other people can see the project that's on the roof. You can put the solar panels in a field or whatever, but you can't see them on the roof. But a football scoreboard, you can see a big project like that. But he said, we want people to see this and see what we're doing here.
I love that. I love the idea of the monitor in the lobby that you can look at and, you know, actually see the benefit. I think, frankly, more politicians ought to be doing that. If, you know, the Biden-Harris administration should have like these monitors or these billboards up, you know, that show the actual savings so that it's not just some kind of a concept, but that you see cold, hard numbers. And you know that some teacher somewhere is going to turn that into like, okay, today's math problem is to go out to the lobby and, yeah, and here's what it said last week. And basically the kids are going to calculate the savings to the taxpayer, you know, and sure. Look,
and then cloudy days versus yes, sunny days. And,
yes,
and here's a funny thing too, that, you know, people were like, what about snow? How's that going to work? And they produce just enough that the snow will melt off. And then it also acts as a cleaning of the solar panels when the snow slides off. So
exactly.
Snow is nice.
Yeah. I mean, for all the, you know, Trump makes all these jokes about, oh, what if it's cloudy? It's like, it still works. And even when it doesn't work, if there's battery backup or it just works at a lower level, like you said, and then you more than make up for it on some of those sunny days as well. Yep. Selena Heller, you can follow the story she's working on, upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnews on your favorite social media posts for her videos. Thanks, Selena. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. When we come back, some more voices from the Democratic National Convention, folks that we talked to, including the Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer, coming up next here up north. This is the time.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
If you've been following the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, you've likely heard or seen one of the scouts pointing out earworms in the Western Corn Belt. It is a pest that migrates from the south and can be an issue in some types of corn. I'll have more details right after this. I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report, and University of Illinois Extension field crops entomologist Nick Sider says popcorn, sweet corn, and seed corn are some good examples of where earworms are hiding out.
Now, if you're growing field corn, one thing that happens is the base of the ear tends to compensate really well when that feeding is limited to the tips of the ear. And with corn earworm, most of the feeding is limited to the tips of the ear. So the actual impact on yield in field corn from an insect like corn earworm tends to be pretty minimal. Where we can get concerned with it sometimes in field corn is if you get that feeding and then you get the sort of weather conditions that can lead to mycotoxin development in the ears. So more of a quality concern for us in field corn than a concern with yield loss.
I'll have more news right after this. Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is dedicated to ensuring that farmers know how their contributions are being utilized. Liza Schlintz, Farmer Communications Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, says to achieve this, they have several communication methods in place.
We want to make sure that we're not spending tons of checkoff dollars reaching out to farmers because that's not what our intention is. However, we certainly want our farmers to know what their dollars are going to. So every year in the fall, we submit an annual report that goes through DATCAP and then sent out to all of our dairy farmers. You're going to get a postcard in the mail. It's got a QR code on it. And at any time, you can go to wisconsindairy.org where that annual report lives all year long. We also go to several industry events and trade shows. And we also have an email newsletter that comes out once a month. And you can also sign up for that at wisconsindairy.org.
By keeping communication channels open and accessible, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin ensures that farmers are always in the know. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection invites Wisconsin dairy processors to apply for the Dairy Processor Grants through October 7th. These grants aim to foster innovation, improve profitability, and sustain the long-term viability of Wisconsin's dairy processing facilities. A total of $500,000 is available for this year's dairy processor grants, and grants will be awarded for projects up to $50,000 and 2 years long. You can learn more about this at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter, as we'll deliver 5 stories to your inbox every single day. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a heat advisory in effect for today. The heat index, 100 degrees or better this afternoon. Partly cloudy in the low 90s with a chance of afternoon and nighttime thunderstorms. Tonight, 65. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Warm and humid again with a high near 90. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Join James and Southwood County Humane Society for Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Stay up to date on needs, events, and available pets. Over 100 pets have been adopted thanks to area sponsors. To learn how to help, call Ashley at 715-496-0710.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, Todd Albaugh. Join us next time as we are back in Wisconsin after covering the DNC. We'll look back at the news of the weekend and get you ready for the last week in August. Badger football coming up.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Again, Shirley Manson from Garbage, 58 years old today. Happy birthday to her at 7:34. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and we're coming off the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, which leads to a discussion of the political wins, which, again, like vibes and everything else, it's very ethereal. You don't know until the votes are actually cast and counted. But right now, the prevailing sentiment for Democrats seems to be that they have the wind at their backs. And now there's talk no longer of losing everything, but perhaps gaining everything, gaining back control of the House of Representatives, holding on to control of the Senate and the White House, and then potentially, maybe 1, 2, 3 Supreme Court seats that could change hands as well. But again, all of this is so early. And a lot of work has to be done over the next 10 weeks before anybody, casts ballots and we find out how this all comes down. But that's not to take away from what all took place in Chicago and to see a Democratic Party perhaps more unified than any time that I can remember. And it was a message that, even the most jaded and cynical among us can share. And that takes us to Scott Ross, who is a dear friend. He was the executive director of One Wisconsin Now for a long time. He now describes himself as a Sabbath gas bag. In other words, a Sunday morning political TV analyst. But he's also a very astute observer of Wisconsin politics. And so I talked to him about the energy level of the convention. But also, he made sure to point out there wasn't just everything about looking ahead, but also of thanking President Biden for the decision that he made and the service that he gave to the country in leading up to that decision. So here's a little bit of my conversation with Scott Ross.
So much enthusiasm, and most importantly, political capstone to 50 years of Joe Biden's public service to the United States of America. It was wonderful. The fact that he put country first, as he always does, and created, again, a stark reminder of the difference between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Kamala Harris is for us, joy and happiness back in politics. Donald Trump's in it for himself.
What do you think of the change in narrative of, whether Joe Biden is too old versus a narrative that is now back focused on public service, including what Joe Biden's was and what he did and what Kamala Harris wants to do?
Oh, exactly. I mean, again, it's about competence, and we restored competence to the White House when Joe Biden became president. He has worked his ass off, 16 million more jobs, 21 million more people have access to health care, $7 billion for Wisconsin alone in infrastructure, and 4.75 million people having their student loan, taken away after paying for years and years and years. So we restored competence, and like they're going to say until November 5th, we're not going back.
The theme from the Trump-Vance campaign, especially with visits to Kenosha and Howell, Michigan, appears to be around that old buzz phrase, law and order. What should people really know about the Trump-Vance campaign when they're using that kind of messaging?
Well, obviously, there was never a more corrupt administration in the history of United States presidents than Donald Trump's. And I think the crescendo of that is the 34 felony counts he has so far. Couple that with J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance received the largest campaign contribution in American history, $15 million, from German venture capitalist Peter Thiel, who wants to end democracy. He's bought and paid for, Trump's bought and paid for by Wall Street, and he's rewarded them. We got $2 trillion of unpaid tax cuts for rich people and corporations under Trump. He wants to extend that to be another $5 trillion that you, me, and everybody out there are going to pay for.
Well, there's all this messaging going to moderate or undecided swing voters, whatever you want to call them, and there is still the line that this is all a political persecution of Donald Trump. What message needs to go to those voters?
Well, first of all, the message to those what I believe are suburban swing women is exactly the message you heard over and over last night. You know, the brave women who told their stories about having, you know, babies that were going to die inside of them, that they had to take them to term because of the overturning of Roe versus Wade, about doctors who are afraid to perform, you know, their knowledge because of 6 Republican Supreme Court justices, 3 of whom, you know, under Trump, all 3 who are, you know, literally illegitimate Supreme Court justices.
You had a bit of a slogan at the old One Wisconsin Now that used a word that so many Democrats and progressives shied away from, but you guys didn't mind using the L word. What was that tagline again?
Yeah, we're a liberal group. We do liberal things.
A liberal, you know, group that does liberal things.
You know, classic liberalism is, you know, classic conservatism is believe that the free market can solve everything. And liberalism is about whether, you know, what government's there to solve problems that are inherent in a free market system. And that's what we should be doing, investing in people. And again, that's what Joe Biden did. You know, he and Kamala Harris's, you know, Inflation Reduction Act, the American Rescue Act, all those things that put money into Wisconsin, that made sure that we not only saved America, but that we're thriving and prospering. And, you know, inflation is down to, you know, levels that were under George Bush. You know, all 7 G7 countries have higher inflation than us. And people are like, what's the difference between them and us? We had Joe Biden and Kamala Harris' Inflation Reduction Act. That's the difference. And that's the difference when Democrats are in office.
But Republicans will continue to claim that it was all that spending that's what drove inflation. We hear that from Eric Hovde repeatedly. Is that something that is a narrative that is going to be tough for Democrats to counter with what you just said?
Listen, the only thing Eric Hovde knows about money is how to inherit it. You know, that's the bottom line on it. The fact is that there was a lot of pent-up spending that was going to happen because of the pandemic. So people were spending. Couple that with the fact that all these industries that the American people helped bail out during COVID started gouging all of us. Record profits for oil companies, record profits for, you know, grocery stores and their corporate chains. I mean, again, these aren't small mom and pop operations. These are the biggest corporations on the planet, which also happen to own our media. So of course, ergo, they're going to be towing that Republican line, which is what they always do. Inflation is tough, but it's under control, and it's under control because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris made the right moves. If this was under Trump, it'd be pushing triple digits.
Again, it's about making those investments, yeah. As Scott Ross said, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, that's always what it is. It's about that. It's about long-term vision. You got to look at the long term. If you don't look at the long term, then you're never going to spend money. You're going to be like, we can't do this. There's no possibility of doing this. Well, why not? Make those investments, and they might not work, but you're trying.
Yes. Let's hear next from Greta Neubauer. Greta Neubauer is the Assembly Democratic leader. Again, was in the delegation. We talked about the many VIPs who stopped by to talk to the delegation because of Wisconsin's difference as a swing state, which she hastens to add is not just about the presidential race, but how Wisconsin voters can make a difference at multiple levels down the ballot.
So Wisconsin has always been important, and Wisconsin continues to be incredibly important. I think people across the state understand that they could decide an important legislative race that helps determine the majority in the assembly, perhaps a congressional, Tammy Baldwin, and then of course Kamala Harris's race. We are incredibly lucky in Wisconsin to be able to participate in so many important elections, and we have a huge responsibility because these races are probably going to be very close.
Tell us about some of the key assembly races and how things seem, you know, since the time that Kamala Harris became the presumptive nominee.
Absolutely. So, of course, we have a number of seats to flip this year, a couple that I will highlight that are right around that 50% mark. We've got Yiling Zhang running in Wausau. This is the 85th district. Yi is an incredible candidate. He has been in office since he was a teenager. and he would be our first Hmong representative. People in Wausau love ye. They are so excited for him to represent them and have someone who really shares their values in the assembly. We've got Christy Welch running in Green Bay. She's here at the convention as a delegate. Christy comes from a manufacturing background. She is working so hard. She is knocking on a ton of doors, and we are really excited for her to represent areas of Brown County. And then who else will I mention? I'll mention Allison Page. Allison is running in Hudson, and she is a former nurse and a healthcare professional, school board member. Allison is just a fantastic candidate, and we are so excited to have these folks stepping up who are ready to govern, who want to be part of this historic moment in Wisconsin.
What is the message coming from Assembly Democratic candidates when it comes to economic issues and affording, you know, day-to-day life?
Absolutely. We know that many families in Wisconsin are having a difficult time making ends meet, and it is our job to do something about that. While Assembly Democrats tried to lower the cost of prescription drugs and childcare, while we looked at real solutions to housing challenges and wanted to pass a tax cut that was actually focused on the middle class, Republicans really refused to engage with us on those issues. They wanted to pass tax cuts that benefited the wealthiest Wisconsinites, and they just simply are not willing to get to work for the people of this state.
Last one will be about the constitutional amendments that went down, and you had Robin Voss and others essentially saying, well, we're going to double down and keep going that avenue. Is your message kind of like, you know, good luck with that?
Yes. So Robin Voss has made clear that he would like to do constitutional amendments on two things. One is an abortion ban, and the second is enshrining voter ID into state law. Robin Voss will do everything he can to restrict the rights and freedoms of people of our state and to consolidate his own power. And we have seen that time and again, and he is saying that that's his plan moving forward. If we send him back with a majority in the assembly, we know exactly what he will do. It's time for us to move in a new direction. And the people of Wisconsin made really clear on primary day this August that they are tired of Republican power grabs and that they actually want people who are doing the work for the people of our state.
Greta Neubauer, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Again, Representative Greta Neubauer, the Assembly Democratic leader. So, okay, we've talked about the difference that an election makes at the national level with somebody like Joe Biden's record of service, at the state level from a leading state legislator. Now at the local level, presidential elections matter at the local level of government as well. Andrew Werthmann was a delegate at the convention and a member of the Eau Claire City Council.
Part of what I'll first point out is the fact that, you know, policies from the Biden administration are already directly helping in our local communities. And I think about ARPA funds and the way that we've been able to invest in affordable housing. I think about the funds that we've gotten for PFAS remediation through our state government, through our federal government. And I think about our addressing climate change and just sort of the challenge that we have there through the Inflation Reduction Act. We've seen a series of policies that 100% are the things that kind of help communities like Eau Claire move forward. And I expect in a Harris-Walz administration that they will double down on that idea of investing both in affordable housing, in our public schools, in making sure that our environment is clean, our air and water is clean, and, you know, sort of helping our community take that next step. Healthcare is another huge issue, and you know it. Path through all of the things that have happened in Western Wisconsin. Healthcare access is something that we've heard a lot about in this convention. So those are the real policies that help, you know, people's lives, daily lives back in my community.
And to the extent that this isn't just a federal matter, but a state matter, with Governor Evers using the ARPA funds in a way that targeted things at the local level rather than, say, you know, tax cuts or something like that, can you tell me about the importance of having state leaders who are also looking out for the local levels of government?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. And it's from ARPA funds to even, you know, the forestry grants that we've been getting to help us make sure that we're, you know, removing old dead and dying ash trees and planting new trees in our community. Those have all of these things have real life consequences, and leadership in Madison that can make a difference for that. You know, absolutely sets the course for what we do in a local community.
So again, that's Andrew Werthmann, a member of the Eau Claire City Council and a convention delegate, talking about the many ways that your vote makes a difference and why you shouldn't sit it out. So again, there's 10 weeks until the election, 10 weeks from tomorrow. Early voting, of course, will start sometime before that. To learn more about the election and voter registration, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. Again, myvote.wi.gov. All right, apropos of nothing, but just because it's something I've started reading this weekend, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm one of my birthday presents was the George Stephanopoulos book, The Situation Room, an actual history of the Situation Room, how it started during the Kennedy administration and how various presidents used it. Really enjoying it so far. So I just wanted to mention that and recommend it if you're looking for a good read. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell is next. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Law enforcement across Wisconsin is speaking out in support of Tammy Baldwin for U.S. Senate. Listen to Sheriff Kurt Fell of Rock County.
Every day we battle illegal drugs coming into our community, and we know the attacks on Tammy Baldwin are not true.
Sheriff Jeff Scatroot of Greene County.
Tammy's working with law enforcement to stop the flow of fentanyl.
And Sheriff Calvin Barrett of Dane County.
She brought Democrats and Republicans together to crack down on the drugs coming from China and Mexico, giving us more tools to fight drug smugglers.
It's Tammy Baldwin who stood with the Border Patrol on border security. She supported the strongest border security bill in decades.
And Tammy voted 32 times to strengthen the border. She's fighting the flow of people and fentanyl coming across the border.
It's Tammy Baldwin I trust.
I trust.
I trust to help us keep Wisconsin safe.
I'm Tammy Baldwin running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Now, 10 minutes before 8 o'clock on Up North News Radio. On this Monday morning, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell is also back from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. And Terry, good morning. I was saying that, you know, it's not often that you get both political conventions basically in your backyard, one in Milwaukee, one in Chicago. It was a lot to do all at once. And I don't know that we'll see that kind of phenomenon around here again anytime soon, but it was a unique experience, an exhausting experience, but a unique experience just the same.
Yeah, it keeps you on your toes, especially I'll just walk you through my workday briefly, but it started, you know, working on newscasts first thing in the morning, and then that would be followed quickly by the delegate breakfasts. And the thing about the delegate breakfast is it's like shooting fish in a barrel in terms of opportunities to speak to people from Wisconsin who are there. They're all in the same room. I believe was the case with the Democrats as it was with Republicans, where you have to attend the breakfast to get your daily credentials. I know that was the case with the Republicans. I don't know if the Democrats were distributed in quite that way, but it was a good carrot on the end of the stick to get you to come to the breakfast. And then speakers came, and so you got that. And that's all first thing in the morning. And then there's a bit of a lull. Not much happening from mid-morning until late afternoon. And then things ramp up again. And Civic Media had a live broadcast from 6 to 7 each night. So, you know, It was some long days, but that's what I signed up for. Yeah,
you needed that lull, though, because, you know, again, like you said, so many people to interview. And I've got a list in front of me of at least 16 interviews that I did. And I think we've put 5 of them on the radio so far.
Wow.
There will be more to come, obviously, because a lot of people, again, you get to see them there and they have a lot to say. It's not just about the presidential race, but about the issues. But that presidential race is returning to Wisconsin this week. The first of Terry Bell's 3 things you need to know to start the week.
Yep, that's right. So we're not getting Wisconsin isn't getting a break from the campaigning anytime soon. Donald Trump will be in La Crosse on Thursday at what promises to be a town hall style meeting. I would imagine that would include some sort of input from people in the audience. I'm guessing those people will be pre-selected and their questions screened. But anyway, it's a chance for a little bit of a give and take, even though there will be stagecraft to it. And that's from what I hear. One topic you can expect to hear about will be energy prices. I'm guessing that's because that is an issue that polls well for him anyway, and then that he wants to hammer away at. So I would expect to hear about energy prices, among other things, in the weeks to come.
Well, that would get us to our second topic, and that is Trump allegedly shifting gears and campaign strategy. And I mean, look, already on the program today, I've cast doubts on the notion of this, you know, change in strategy. Is there really going to get, you know, be this give and take in lacrosse on Thursday? You've, you know, said in so many words that it may be more like they are pre-screened, because no campaign likes surprises. You know, you want to know what you're getting into. But just the whole notion of Trump talking more about issues and policy rather than insults and trash talking America and the economy. I mean, this is becoming, Terry, to me, the infrastructure week. You know, Trump was always promising infrastructure week. Now we're always hearing the promise of a pivot, that he's suddenly going to be presidential. And while I have my doubts, it is, of course, again, from a national standpoint, one of the big talking points of the week.
I'll believe it when I see it. We've been to this movie before, several times, when we get to a moment where we're told, oh, no, we're going to, you know, you're going to see a different tone. You know, he is who he is. I think some good insight into this might be a documentary from about 15, 20 years ago called Who Killed the USFL? And this was, I think this came out shortly before Trump first, before the 2016 campaign, although I don't think it was released to coincide with it. But anyway, my point is, there are interviews with Donald Trump from the early 1980s. And if there was ever any Trump that any confusion that Trump was playing some sort of character now to appeal to certain voters in the 21st century, no, in the early 1980s, he is exactly the same guy, 40 years ago as he is now.
I know. And I don't think nearly enough is said. I mean, you hear about some of the Trump business dealings of the past, you know, Trump University and Trump Steaks and Trump Water and things like that. But the USFL story is actually quite fascinating, of Trump trying to get into the NFL and using the USFL in a way that, basically, again, my editorializing here, lives up to that moniker, everything Trump touches dies. The man's business record is not stellar, shall we say. So, yeah, you may want to read up on that. Third and final note is getting back to state news here and some of the more traditional things that we cover. And that would be things like, you know, there will be a new state budget next year, and the universities of Wisconsin, or the UW system, has to put their numbers together and decide what they're going to ask for.
Yeah, so this story is from Thursday, so it's a few days old, but this is the first chance you and I have had to talk on the air about it. But the University of Wisconsin will be asking for a significant increase in its budget, $855 million. That's about a 10%, 11% increase. And, you know, it's seen as a way to keep from having to raise tuition. Right now, Wisconsin, compared to other public university systems around the country, is disproportionately reliant on tuition for its to balance its books, because it gets not much state aid. I think the 43rd in the country among the states for funding its public education, public four-year universities anyway. And so, Jay Rothman put these numbers together. The Board of Regents approved them this week, and we'll see how that plays out when the budget process begins February or so next year.
With a lot of changes in the legislature between retirements and the new maps. And so this is the first in what's going to be a lengthy process with a lot of unknowns. Terry Bell will keep us up to speed on it. Civic Media News Director, thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Thank you, Matt. You too.
All right. And Mr. Bach, Matt and Air on Air, filling in. What you got today?
We got Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing for Communities as my guest host the entire day. So we're going to be talking about all sorts of cool things, the news. We're talking about what's going on in her world with what Block is doing. So we're very excited to have Angela on the show. We're on from 10 to noon. So tune in, call in, text, comment. We want to hear from you.
Yes. On your favorite Civic Media station or through the Civic Media app. Thank you, Greg. And thanks to all of you for being here as well. Thanks to our guests, Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us on social media. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great Monday. We'll see you back up here tomorrow morning, Up North.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang, the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, is my guest host for the day. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Playmakers is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Wham Incorporated. Be the hero in your family or community with Wham Incorporated, your home for customized team apparel. Tune in to Playmakers Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and never miss a play.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR, 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A ferocious exchange of fire between Hezbollah and the Israeli military is raising fears of a regional